Thank you, Brother Rutledge, and praise the Lord, everybody. We thank the Lord tonight for this wonderful service. We enjoyed the good singing. We appreciate all of you that are here. We look forward to the working of the Spirit in somebody's life tonight. It may be in the chambers of your mind or the secret thoughts of your heart. It may be on bad habits that are outwardly upon you, but I'm looking forward to the Spirit of God moving here tonight. We believe in apostolic ministry, and I believe there's power in it. Absolute power over sin, over disease, over bad habits, and over devils. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to thank you for the offering. We appreciate your generosity, and every church we went to would try to take good care of us, as you all tried to. It'd be a lot easier for a man with a family. Oftentimes I run across this. There's a lot of singing groups running across the country nowadays, and I have anything against them. Jesus didn't say, go sing the gospel. He said, preach it. I think it's subsidiary and tributary, and it's an accessory, and it's a blessing, but it's not the main course. Amen. Anybody come through here and start singing, don't preach, I want you to jump up and say, preach, brother, preach. You're going to let me down if you don't. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that's, of course, except the Spirit of God was to fall. Why, if the Spirit of God falls here tonight, none of us is going to preach. Hallelujah. But we want to say thank you for your generosity. And a lot of times people don't, when they just see me, they just see one, but I do have a family that I have to support and send money home every week. And in order for me to even make it, I've got to stay out at great lengths, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14 weeks at a time, because you just can't run home every time the moon changes. It costs too much money. And when you're home, you don't make anything. And when you don't make anything, it's all outgo. What do they say? When your outgo exceeds your income, becomes your downfall. So we thank you for your generosity and also the hospitality of Brother and Sister Rutledge's home and all the good things you've been bringing in to eat. We appreciate that tonight. And appreciate every last bit of it. Every bit of it. God bless you for your generosity. Everybody say Wednesday night.
Amen.
Everybody's going to plan to be here, God willing, Wednesday night, said amen.
Amen.
Those that's not, said amen. Hey, everybody's going to be here. Now, we understand if you work and can't come, you have to work during service. And if you're sick enough that you can't go to work, we understand that you can't come to church. But don't plan anything else this week that'll get in the way. Come early and pray. I'd like to see you do that this week. Would you try to do that? Come early and hit the prayer room. And let's pray together for a move of God. We need it, don't we? I'd like to have a move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I appreciate the service tonight. I appreciate the one last night. But let's just pray that this coming week, God willing, the Spirit will move like it's never moved before. I want that to happen. Have you got relatives and friends you'd like to see saved? Raise your hand for them right now. They may not even be in Pine Bluff. They could be somewhere else. But you want to see them saved. Raise your hand for them tonight. Call their names out in prayer. I have brothers and sisters that are not in the church, and I try every day to remind God. I know God don't need reminding, but I want God to know that I care. Talk to them, Lord. Talk to them, Lord. I don't want to bury my brother or my sister knowing they didn't find God. I want to see all of my friends saved, and you want to see yours. Why wait till another revival? Let's get it in this one. No need of waiting. Let's have it now. Praise God. So let's pray together and ask the Lord for a move of God. Now, I will say this humbly, and I mean it from my heart. Due to circumstances of this flu and business, I am not imposing any fasting upon you unless it's of a voluntary nature. Generally, we fast 3 days the first week of revival. And if that don't turn the trick, we kick it off with another three-day fast. But this flu, I think we'd just be asking for disaster. I'm just barely getting out of the woods myself. I don't know about you. So I'm not imposing any. But of course, if you want to fast, you go right ahead and fast. But I do want us to pray. Would you help us pray? Would you help us pray? Pray for revival. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here tonight? Would you rather be here in the best hospital in Pine Bluff? How about the best jailhouse in Pine Bluff? Would you rather be here than any place else in Pine Bluff right now? Let the congregation say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Under his word. Hold your Bibles up, everybody that has a Bible tonight. Now look around. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Wave those Bibles around. Lord bless you. We urge you again to bring your Bible to the house of God. Praise God. Praise God. Now I'm going to preach to you tonight. A slam bang. Just knock them out.
Praise God.
It's scattergun style. I don't know why. I lie to you. But the Lord laid this thing on my heart, and I'm going to preach it. There'll be no form much to it. Hallelujah. We're just going to preach. And at any time, there's liable to be an explosion. And I just hope the Spirit of God just blesses you and blesses me until we just worship the Lord and people right back there receive the Holy Ghost. And people get their healing right there. Did you know the Bible said He sent His Word and healed them? You don't have to have my hands laid on you or the preacher's hands to be healed. Now, we believe laying on hands, but God can heal you just like that. How many has ever been healed? Know what I'm talking about. Psalms 108 verse 20 said that. It's in His Word and healed them. Let me preach now. One verse of Scripture. I'm going to read a familiar passage out of Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to read verse 17. You could probably quote it for me. Colossians 3 and 17. And then I'm going to run all over the place so you just go shut your Bible. Because I don't want to go slow enough to make it Bible study tonight. But I want you to write these scriptures down. I'll pursue them because I'm going to try tonight to show to you by the Word of God what is the salvation name of God and what all that name can do. Let me read to you now a verse of Scripture in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Quote that verse or read it with me, would you? And let's pray for a move of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I bind every hindering spirit in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I bind every hindering spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, if you believed in the conjunction and linking two equal subjects together, you'd have the Father being the grandfather of Jesus. It said, giving thanks to God and then and the Father. So you got God, the Father, and Jesus is the grandson of the Father. But I'm not on that tonight. Hallelujah. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I may not get through this message tonight. I don't know. But I'm going to preach on a subject entitled simply, 27 Things Done in Jesus' Name. Hang on. You maybe don't know tonight how big that name is. How great that name is. How marvelous that name is. How majestic. How mystical. How powerful. How incomparable. How incomprehensible. How glorious. Glamorous. Magnificent. That beautiful name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, meaning Jehovah becomes salvation. So the literal translating of the word Jesus does mean Jehovah becomes salvation. Now, the word Son is not a name. When I read Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I ask you, what is the name of the Son? Now, if you say Jesus is the name of the Son, you got problems. Because Jesus said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. So if Jesus is the name of the Son, then Jesus must be the name of the Father. For Hebrews 1:4 declared, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I got the name Bayer from my daddy. He got it from his daddy. I inherited the family name, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3, and you can read it, of course, in verse 15. Now, if Jesus is the name of the Son, then it must be the name of the Father. For the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is a singular name. N-A-M-E, name of the Father. I read in Proverbs 30:4. The Bible said, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? The word Son is not a name. It may be a name in a sense, but it's not a proper name. The proper name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. I am come in my Father's name. His name shall be called Jesus. And in John 14:26, the Bible said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Furthermore, the Bible tells me in 1 Peter 1:10-11, particularly verse 11, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, speaking of the Old Testament prophets, that they had the Spirit of Christ in them. 1 Peter 1:11. And yet in 2 Peter 1:21, it said, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now what moved them? The Spirit of Christ or the Holy Ghost? I say they're one and the same. Therefore Jesus
is the name of the Holy Ghost. The name of Jesus. I read in the book of John, chapter number 17 and verse number 6. Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Then he prayed in verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. Then in verse number 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. In thy name. Jesus said, I kept them in your name. I manifested your name. I declared your name. Then in John 12:28, the Bible said, Jesus declared, Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How then I submit to you, there was a name called. I read of Jesus in Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was minded to put her away privately. But what he thought in these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. He came in his Father's name. He inherited that name. And in verse 25, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not that she brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Again, another account. In the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible said, and it came to pass in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was to a man whose name was Joseph of the tribe of David, and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name wasn't virgin, it was Mary. And the angel came into the her and said, Hail thou, a highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And then the Bible said, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bear a son, and shalt call his name Son. Bear a son, and call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. The devils know what the name of the Son is, for I read in the book of Acts, the 19th chapter and the 13th verse, the Bible said, Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, not son I know, not true vine I know, not door I know, not living bread from heaven I know, not Alpha Omega I know, but Jesus I know. And Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, and they ran out of the house naked and wounded. And this was made known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and catch this, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. How was it magnified? Because devils acknowledged they knew a name that was above every name. You've got to have a name, not a title. You've got to have a name, not a representative. Name, name. That name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord? There are many things The Bible said that what you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe we've got authority to anoint the sick in Jesus' name. The Bible in James 5:14 said, is there any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him with oil, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, if you come up here and I anointed you, and I said, I anoint you, Buddha, Confucius, Zoroaster, in the name of Hitler or Mussolini, you look up at me and say, wait a minute, call over me a name that sickness is subject to, and I'll anoint you, and I'll call that name, and it won't be Joe or Henry or Sue, and it won't be Mary. The name I call is the name of Jesus. We anoint in the name of the Lord. We believe in that name. The Bible, 12:21 of Matthew, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I know a name you can trust in tonight. 2:23 of the book of John, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And I believe that miracles can still be done in the name of Jesus. 3:18 of the book of John said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You may believe in a lot of things about Jesus. You may believe he actually lived, that he was a prophet, that he was this, that he was that. He raised the dead. He cleansed the leper. But you've got to also believe in that name. That name's above every other name in this world. I don't care what name you bring up. The name of Jesus is above it, and you've got to believe in it. In John 1 and verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We've got to believe on a certain name, not just any name, but a specific name, his name, designating possession. Amen. You've got to believe in his name. Oh, I thank God we can call on that name. Just how far do you think you'd get by getting down and saying, Buddha, Buddha, Confucius, Confucius, Zoroaster, Zoroaster, Marcus Aurelius Antonius, or Caesar, or Hitler, hear me, Mussolini, Khrushchev, Stalin, hear me. Just how far would you get when you holler, hey, Pharaoh, hear me. Just how far, but I know a name you can call on tonight. The name is Jesus. And we can call on it. That's what the Bible said. In the Bible, in Romans 10:13, the Bible said, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2:21 of Acts. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ananias told the Lord when he talked about Saul that he was praying in 9:14 of Acts. Ananias reminded the Lord by saying, and here hath he authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. A certain group of people that qualifies by calling on his name. In fact, the Bible in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2 said unto the church of God which is at Corinth, and then of course it said that to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Why, if you was an angel and you could hear with ears the world over, you would say, hey, what's going on in Corinth? They're calling on Jesus. What's going on in Ephesus? They're calling on Jesus. What's going on in Colossae? They're calling on Jesus. What's going on in Rome and in Jerusalem and in Samaria and Judea? Well, they're calling on the name of Jesus. And if that same angel 1900 plus years later was to listen, he said, what they doing in Pine Bluff? They're calling on the name of Jesus. What they doing in Little Rock? What they doing in Melbourne? What are they doing? What are they doing in Indianapolis, in Miami, in Philadelphia, in Los Angeles, in Salt Lake City? What are they doing in Norfolk? What are they doing? What are they doing? Well, they're calling on the name of Jesus.
sure you don't think we just come out here tonight to sing. We come out here to call on the name of the Lord. In fact, the Bible said in 22:16 of Acts, when Saul was baptized, Ananias told him, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Why should you call on the name of the Lord? Because that's the only way your sins can be remitted, is in His name. I read in the Bible 24 and 47 of the book of Luke that the Bible tells me that sins are remitted in His name. We are to preach in that name, when it said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. Whose name? His name. Beginning at Jerusalem. And in 10:43 of Acts, it said to him, gave all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Amen? It's through His name. It was said of Saul of Tarsus when he got converted in Acts 9 and 27 that he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. And in verse 29 of that same chapter it said, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not timid about this name tonight. Because it's the only name that can remit sins. And we are preaching in that name. And we are called by that name. In the Bible, in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 7, it said, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called. Some people, they want the healing. They want the dancing in the Spirit. Even wanting the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. They want the gifts of the Spirit. They want the operation and administration of the gifts of the Spirit. But they don't want that name. But I'm telling you, we're called by a worthy name tonight. We're called by the name of Jesus. In fact, the Bible had prophesied in Acts 15:17 that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Called, that means to speak it out. God had promised in Isaiah 56:5, God had promised that He would give a name better than of sons and daughters. I know you love your son and you love your daughter, and my children, I love them. I could call their names tonight. From the eldest Cherry to the next Candy, from the next Camera to the littlest Caroline. I love them. But God said He would give a name better than a son and a daughter. And you love your children. At the mention of their name, if they're sick, you go to them. If they call you up needing help, you'll help them. But God said He would give a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give thee an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. The devil tried to cut it off. Herod tried to strangle Jesus, as it were, in the cradle. And the devil, every step of the way, tried to get Jesus and tried to murder Him. In fact, he thought he had Him at Calvary when He hung and died. But that name is alive tonight. And the people of that name is in the world. We're going to preach it, aren't we, folks? I'll give thee a name that shall not be cut off. And so we can understand that there is a church in this world that has been established in that name. In Acts 15 and 14, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. For His name. Now, when you asked your wife to marry you, it was understood she was to take on your name. She had to take on your name, unless you're living together tonight with a common law marriage. And surely you're not doing that. If you want your children to be legal and legitimate, you've got to give them a name. Amen, amen. And God will have no illegitimate children running around heaven. Every one of them will wear His name. Well, his name. Now, I want you to understand. The Baptist John said in 3:29 of John, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And you remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:2 said, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. So Jesus had told Peter, or rather Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. I'm going to build my church. Then we read that he gave himself for it. If you read in Titus 2:13-14, and if you read 2 Peter 2:1, that he bought us. And if you read 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, that you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And 20:28 of Acts, which said he purchased it with his own blood. Now then, how did he buy it and why did he buy it? In Ephesians 5:25, it said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own selves. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The church is to be joined with Christ as a bride to the bridegroom. In fact, our Christ pointed us to a future date in heaven. In Revelation 19:7, it said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. A marriage is going to take place. And what's the use of a ceremony if you're not going to take on a name? What's the use of going through a rigmarole of a ceremony if you're not going to take on a name? The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife. And his wife, that woman you're setting by, is not your wife unless she wears your name. If you're living together, she's not your wife. She's your mistress. But if you want to belong to Jesus, you've got to wear his name. Wear his name. In fact, it said, his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. In 22:4 of Revelation again, his name shall be in their forehead. They're going to have a name. They're going to have a name. I'm telling you, there was a church established in that name. I could talk on. Children are to be received in that name. Mark 9:37, Jesus, and whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. Amen. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that hath sent me. Children are to be received in that name. We are to confess that name. In Philippians 2:9, the Bible said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus, amen, I said confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What are they going to say? They're going to confess Jesus is Lord. Now, if that don't mean anything to you, hang on just a moment. Didn't Ananias tell Paul in Acts 9:17, he said that, now Saul, he said, why? He said, now why are you tearing now? He said, the Lord, even Jesus,
So there's an interchangeable term. The Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee. Now I read way back in Jeremiah. In 10 and 10 it said, for who is God? And the Bible said there is but one true Lord. Just one. For the Lord is the true God and an everlasting King. You read that? That God is the true God. God is the true Lord. There is but one. And in the Bible, in 54:5 of the book of Isaiah, it said, for thy maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Now the Bible said there is one Lord. In the Bible, Ephesians 4 and verse number 5, there is one Lord. And the Bible in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 said, now the Lord is that Spirit. And Saul of Tarsus said in Acts 9 and 5, who art thou, Lord? Now notice this. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I submit to you tonight, according to 1 John 5 and verse 20, and we know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is the true God. This is the true God. Match that up with Jeremiah 10 and 10. Jesus is the true God and eternal life. I submit to you tonight, we ought to confess that name, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord of heaven. He's the Lord of earth. He's the Lord over devils. He's the Lord over sickness. He's the Lord over sorrow. He's the Lord over death. He's the Lord over hell. He's the Lord over you. He's the Lord over me. He's the Lord over everything that moves in the sea, flies in the air, walks in the forest. He's the Lord of everything that moves and lives. And I know his name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. In fact, if you say Father is a name and Son's a name and Holy Ghost is a name, I'd say, hey, Father, or hey, Son. There'd be a lot of us men turn around. If I said Son, we'd all men would. And most of us, that if someone hollered Father, we'd turn. But you want to know who we are, call our name out. If you don't believe me, sign your next check, Father, Son, and Husband. That's right. And see whether it can go through. They want a name down there. And that name that I'm preaching in tonight, in Ephesians 1:21, it said, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Can't you understand me tonight? Even if Son was a name, was a proper name, and it's not, or Father was, or Holy Ghost was, or if any other name you can name is a proper name, then the Bible says Jesus' name's above it. Not only in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and Malvern, and Northlet, and El Dorado, and Little Rock, and Texarkana, and Timbuktu, but it's also above every name in Jupiter and Venus and Mars and the sun and the moon, and where angels congregate and where devils hover together. It's above every name in every hospital, in every place you go, not only in this world, but also when the mists have rolled away and we've crossed over Jordan. What do you know? That same name is going to have that same magic and that same power when we get over yonder. Say praise the Lord. A cup of cold water is to be given. Mark 9 and 43 said, 41 said, that whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ. Hallelujah. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Just a cup of water given in his name. Amen. A cup of water given in his name. I believe we can stand here tonight and cast out devils in that name. Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe
In my name shall they cast out devils. In the Bible, Luke 10 and 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils. This ought to make us shout as good as any choir number ever made us shout. Because the devil is a real thing. It's not a malaria germ or a flu germ or a figment of some Al Cap cartoon's imagination. It's not a Donald Duck, a Mickey Mouse, or a Huckleberry Finn, or a Tom Sawyer. Let me tell you, the devil's a real angel with real power. But I got a name that even the devils are subject to tonight. And if that don't make you bold, I don't know what does. That you can face every devil that comes your way, every demon that comes your way, and you can bind them in the name of Jesus. In fact, there was a damsel that followed Apostle Paul around for several days and then vexed his spirit and hollering out, these men, amen, are of the Most High God, so on and so forth. And the Bible tells us in 16:18 of Acts, and Paul being vexed in spirit turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. How did he get him out? In the name of Jesus. How did he take dominion? In the name of Jesus. How did he get control of the situation? In the name of Jesus. How did he become master of it? In the name of Jesus. We've got a name tonight. Above every name, we can cast out devils in that name. I said we can cast out devils in that name. And I'll go so far as to tell you, we can die for that name. Now, I wouldn't want to die for just any name. To become a human bonfire, or to go to a guillotine and get my neck chopped off, or to go, my friend, to a firing squad for just any name, Joe, Henry, no, don't bother me. I'll go the other direction. Sam or Sue, or Mary, or Philip, or Henry, or whatever. I don't want to die for that name, because there's no reward in that name. But I know a name that I can die for that there's a reward in. In Acts 15 and 26, it was said of some men, Paul and Barnabas specifically, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did they hazard their health and life for? Not a central life control at Jerusalem, not an organization, not some ladies' aid society, not some sewing party, and not some peanut brittle making group. No, and I'm not against that specifically, but if I'm going to put my head on a chopping block, I'm going to put it on there for a name. A name. I'm going to hazard my health, hazard my money, hazard my reputation, hazard anything. I want to hazard it for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Acts 21 and 13, when he's about to go up to Jerusalem, and they tried to beg him to stop, he looked at him and said, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not only to be bound to Jerusalem, but also to die. Not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name, 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 for the name of the Lord Jesus. And you're telling me he never spoke that name? You're telling me that name was never audibly spoken, and yet he was going to spill his blood for it? I don't serve a nameless wonder. I don't worship at an unknown God. I know his name tonight, and his name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. I submit to you tonight, there is healing in that name. 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 What did Peter and John say when they went up to the temple in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, and a lame man was there? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Notice it said, then Peter said, well, I want the name. Well, you get the name and everything that comes with it.
Hallelujah. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Hallelujah. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. He didn't say none of the power. He didn't say none of the authority. He said none of the name. The name that was spoken, Acts 3:6. The name Jesus. That's the name I took on tonight in water baptism. And I've got that name to fight devils. And I've got that name to pray over the sick in. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. I submit to you that is a healing name. I submit to you that sickness can be healed in the name of Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 30 again of the book of Acts. They prayed and said, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. By the name, that's how it's done. There's no wires in this altar. I'm not indulging any hypnotic trance, no Houdini tricks, no hocus pocus. We're not up here trying to go through some emotional drunken binge, but we got a name that can take control over sin, over sickness, over devils, over bad spirits. This name can heal. It can deliver. And signs and wonders can be done by the name of our holy child Jesus. And I noticed one other place where a man had palsy 8 years in Acts the 9th chapter and the 34th verse, that Peter looked at him and he saw old Aeneas sitting there and he perceived he had faith to be healed. And you know what? All Peter said was these words. All he said was this: Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Now Peter said, Sam Jones or Jacob or Abraham maketh thee whole, Aeneas would have still had his palsy. But when he said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, he didn't say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost maketh thee whole. He said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. I say there's something about the mentioning of that name of Jesus that takes control of the situation. Can you say praise the Lord? Sickness can be healed in the name of Jesus. Some people came to my dad years ago when he was preaching, and they said, we love your enthusiasm. We love the spirit of your preaching and love the spirit of your church. Come and preach for us, but leave off that name. Don't talk about that name. Well, folks, if we cease to talk about this name, the power would leave. The demonstration would leave. All you'd have would be an empty hall. Believe me tonight. You could train your choir to the teeth. You could train your Sunday school staff with the latest of all sorts of material. But if you haven't got that name, when devils come in to take the service, and when sickness comes upon the flock, and when troubles come into the church, you haven't got anything to combat with. But oh, if you've got that name tonight, it may be in a storefront, it may be in a tent, a brush arbor, or a cathedral, makes no difference. If you've got that name, you said it all, and you've got it all. It's in the name of Jesus. They didn't want the name, but I love that name tonight, don't you? The Bible said we would be hated for that name. Matthew 10:22, Jesus said, and ye shall be hated of all men for what? My name's sake. Isn't that right? Jesus in John 15:18 told his disciples, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. That's the reason you're accepted in the world. You haven't got the name, son. The Spirit of God needs to talk to you tonight. If you only understood, there's more to this than razzmatazz. There's more to this than some outward adorn. There's a name to be taken on. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, it
it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. But all this cometh to pass. Why? But remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. For my name's sake. We Jesus named people ought to stick out like a sore thumb. We ought to let people know we love that name. We preach in that name. And we are not ashamed of that name. If this choir don't sing in that name, it's got no business singing. If this orchestra don't play the music in that name, it's got no business playing. If preachers don't preach over this pulpit in that name, they got no business preaching here. Hallelujah! We've got a name tonight! And if we're hated for that name, so be it. I love that name anyhow. Let me tell you why. Because the Holy Ghost comes in that name. John 14:28-6 declared, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost comes in that name. In fact, you know what? We're gathered together here in that name. That's what we're here in the name of Jesus. Haven't you read in Matthew somewhere? Haven't you ever read it, my friend? 10:28 of Matthew, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Not that there are we or there we are. He said, there am I, singular, and it's gathered in my name. Now, I'm going to tell you, just because people go to church don't mean Jesus is there. I've heard people say, well, Jesus is there, and they don't even know his name. They're ashamed of it in water baptism. They're ashamed of it, and they don't preach it, and they don't take it on. Jesus isn't there. If you don't want his name, you don't want him. They're just getting together and playing church. If you want Jesus in your midst, you got to come together in his name. In his name. In his name. 1 Corinthians 5:4 said that we are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're gathered together in that name. We give thanks to God. We give thanks in that name tonight. 5:20 of Ephesians, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 13:15 of the book of Hebrews said, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, giving thanks to his name. I worship that name tonight. And my text read that whatsoever you do, what we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. By who? By him. You want to talk about his power. You want to talk about his authority. You want to talk about his miracles. You want to talk about his teachings. You want to talk about his doctrine. But you don't want to talk about his name. Brother, I want to talk about everything about him. And there's one thing I love about him. It's his name. I'm not ashamed of that name tonight. I believe in it. In fact, the Bible tells us to glorify that name. Glorify that name. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells me, and verse 12, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Now, how in the world is it going to be glorified in you if you won't take it on? How in the world are you going to be called by Sam Smith's name if you don't marry Sam Smith? And that husband of yours that proposed and said, honey, I'll buy you a nice mobile home, or I'll build you a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house if you marry me. I'll support you. I'll provide good for you and promise you the moon, and stood there with the stepladder and told you he was ready to go. And my brother and my sister, let me talk to you tonight. You had to go look you up a preacher, and that preacher had to solemnize a ceremony or some justice of the peace or some legal authority, and you had to say, I do. Take on this man, what? His name. To get to his riches, you had to go through his name. To get to his good job to give you a living, you had to go through his name. To give your children legitimacy, you had to go through his name. And you want the church? Yes. You want his miracles? Yes. You want his healing? Yes. You want his teaching? Yes. You gotta go through his name. You gotta go through his name. Through his name. Through his name. Through his name. Praise the Lord. Glorify his name in you. In you, in you, in you, in you. That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And ye in him. That's what it says. Hallelujah. Glorify that name. Glorify the name. We sang the song, I came to glorify the name. Do you think we only hollered name, 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 name? We're here to glorify the name, and all we hollered was son, 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 son. Or good shepherd, good shepherd, good shepherd. Or true vine, or open door, or Alpha Omega. Or all glory to the line of the tribe of Judah. But in the midst of all those titles, we finally get to a name that all those titles are in. And we start glorifying that N-A-M-E name. That name is Jesus! Jesus! Jesus!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Can you say praise the Lord? Let's raise our hands and praise that name! Praise the name of Jesus!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! We are justified in that name. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, that ye are washed, that ye are sanctified, that ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Name and Spirit, water and Spirit, name and Spirit, water and Spirit, name and Spirit, water and Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And you get the name in the water. That's where you get it at. There is life in that name. 20:31 of John. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And you know what? You could suffer loss, but if you suffered for the name of Jesus, you're going to be rewarded. Matthew 19:29 said, and whosoever shall forsake houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wives, or children, or land, for my name's sake, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. For my name's sake. Oh, let me tell you, missions are in that name. The Bible says that. If you want to read it in 2 John, the 7th verse, if you want to, or rather 3 John, the 7th verse, if you want to read about it, the Bible said, because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They went forth how? Because of his name's sake. That's the reason this church is here tonight. It's because of the name of Jesus. And didn't it say about Paul when the Lord told Ananias in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 15, the Bible said, God spoke to Ananias and said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, there's missions in that name. And let me tell you, I can pray in that name. Hallelujah. When Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He was telling us the Father had a name because Jesus came in it and he manifested it and he declared it. And so we can pray in that name tonight. In the Bible, in John 14 and verse number 13, you can read, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name,
15:16 of the book of John. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I ask it in Jesus' name. 16:23 of the book of John. Jesus said, and at that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I believe in praying in Jesus' name. I believe in burying people in Jesus' name. In marrying people in Jesus' name. In fact, I believe in whatsoever we do in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because sins and salvation come and are brought forth in the name of Jesus. Your sins can be forgiven and salvation can come in the name of Jesus. 1 John 2 and verse 12, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his miracle's sake, for his teaching's sake, for his glory's sake, for his transfiguration's sake, because the clouds of the dust of his feet, because he walked on the water, how come my sins are forgiven? For his name's sake. You can take dirty old tobacco habits, filthy old dip and snuff habits. You can take beer guzzling, whiskey sipping, vodka drinking habits. You can take dancing and drinking and gambling habits and just put it under in the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus will take dominion over it, and you can be delivered, and sins will be forgiven in Jesus' name. Didn't I read you? Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in the other, for there's none of the name of heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How many can say, praise the Lord? Praise say that name with me. Say it again. Say it again. We've got a heritage tonight, a wonderful heritage. Thank you, Jesus. And if persecution comes because of that name, I'm ready for it tonight. The apostles, they suffered persecution in that name. If you remember when the lame man got healed and they called him before the council, in Acts 4:16, when the council got together, they said, for that indeed a noble miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell at Jerusalem and cannot deny it. And then they went on and said in the next verse, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightway threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them that they should not speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye? They weren't about to be intimidated. So they went right on preaching and teaching in that name. Well, they called them again. In Acts 5 and 28. And they brought Peter and John before the council again. And they said, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You filled the city with your doctrine. How in the world are they going to know what your doctrine is if you don't mention the name of Jesus? How are they going to know what your baptism is unless you mention the name of Jesus? There's 48 different kinds of baptisms in the world today. And you can say anything. The difference is a name has to be spoken that sin is subject to. And that name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know what? They were going to kill him. But Gamaliel stood up and pleaded for him. Not to kill him, to let him alone. And if this be of naught of men, it'll come to naught, rather. And then they agreed to Gamaliel. Chapter 5, verse 40 of Acts said, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Shame for his name. Oh, they knew what was doing that damage. It was the name J-E-S-U-S. And we love that name, J-E-S-U-S. Hallelujah. You've got to be baptized in that name to get your sins remitted. You must be baptized in that name. Jesus in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, N-A-M-E, singular, name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Those are prepositional phrases of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, and name of the Father. Now, if it had said names, plural, we'd be in a quandary tonight. But it said name, meaning there was one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, what it is, you go baptize in it. Already told you, Luke 24:47, that remission of sins should be preached in His name. Now then, what did the disciples do? Did they disobey Jesus? We've already mentioned in Matthew 16:18, Peter received the keys to the kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, when the people's hearts were pricked, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, which included Matthew, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38 of Acts 2, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. How did they baptize them? They baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know, preacher? Let me show you. We go over to Acts 8. There was a revival in Samaria. Philip went down there. Verse 12, it said, now when Philip preached Christ to them, you know, and they believed the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, he evidently talked about that name, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, you read on down, it shows where the apostles were sent down from Jerusalem, Peter and John, to investigate the matter and to lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. In verse 16, it said, for as yet he was fallen, that is the Holy Ghost, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that word in is eis in the Greek. It means into. It means they were baptized into the name. Into is a transitory word. You go from one thing to another. You come into the building, you get into the car, and you're going to get into the name when you're baptized into the name. The name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now then, that's not all. About 8 years after Pentecost, in the 10th chapter of Acts, a man by the name of Cornelius and his household were seeking God. An angel told Cornelius to send for Simon, and he'd tell thee words whereby thou and thy house could be saved. You read about it in Peter's report to the apostles in Acts 11. He said those words, whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. Now Peter went down there and began to preach to them. And while Peter yet spake these words, in verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And the Revised Version, and the American Standard Version, and Moffat's Version, and Weymouth's Version, and just about any other version you want to pick up says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the name of the Lord. And let me tell you, those people had the Holy Ghost. And you say, I got the Holy Ghost. And you've been to the water, and someone called the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost over you, and you're fussing with me tonight. Listen, you got the Holy Ghost. You don't fuss with the Word of God. Cornelius had the Holy Ghost, and he didn't fuss with Apostle Peter. Peter commanded those Holy Ghost-filled people to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you want to obey God tonight, even if you do have the Holy Ghost, you're going to go to this tank tonight, not tomorrow, tonight, and you're going to be baptized, and in the name of Jesus Christ will be called over you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It was a commandment. Then, of course, in Acts the 19th chapter, we have some people. And it came to pass that while Apollos was of course, Paul hadn't passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finally, certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That'd be a good way to answer your telephone, wouldn't it?
instead of saying hello, just say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Someone knocks at the door and opens, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Why don't you try it this week a little bit? Might be surprised who we might get a hold of. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. That's the reason they weren't baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, because they'd heard the word Holy Ghost. He said, we haven't even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Then Paul said unto them, what then will you baptize? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul, John's only baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were, that's an active verb designating action, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, the Greek word eis, meaning into, and they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. That same word is used in Romans 6 and 3 and 4. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. And in Galatians 3 and 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Now, how in the world are you going to be buried with him? Not them. It says buried with him. Not them. Him. The him is Jesus. And to be buried with Jesus, you got to speak his name. Speak his name. Speak his name. When they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. You cannot find one place where any baptismal service was held and someone said the words, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Did the apostles disobey the Lord? Did they flagrantly disobey the word of Jesus? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, we have the mind of Christ. Now, if someone said, rather obey Jesus and Peter, let me tell you what Paul said. We have the mind of Christ. And in Acts 19, verse 5, he baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And he had the mind of Christ. I believe when we take you to the water and baptize you in Jesus' name, we have the mind of Christ. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I could go on and on. I've preached enough. But I'm convinced you by now that there's a name in the Bible that you need to call on and needs to be called over you, then I'm through. My God, everything's in that name. Everything, the whole kit and caboodle, Alpha and Omega, A to Z, beginning to the end, top to the bottom. It's all in that name. And I'm going to wear it one day in my forehead. That's what it said, 22:4 of Revelation. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Hallelujah. If you want freedom from sin tonight, you can have it. In Jesus' name. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You can say goodbye to that hot temper, goodbye to Herbert Terrace and cigarettes, goodbye to Four Roses whiskey, goodbye to vodka, goodbye to the deck of cards, goodbye to immorality in the name of Jesus tonight. You can depart from iniquity in the name of Jesus tonight. In the name of Jesus tonight. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Would you stand with this preacher? Would you raise your hands and praise that name of Jesus? Praise that name of Jesus right now.